Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
For low-income families and vulnerable communities, having children who don't have health insurance is a daunting reality. While millions of children in the United States get their health insurance through the federal government under Medicaid and CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, that coverage is not guaranteed. A new report from the New York Times shows that since December 2017, more than 1 million children have lost their health insurance coverage under Medicaid and CHIP. And in that same time, the number of uninsured children has gone up by 400,000.
They're finding this out when they're showing up to the doctor's office or trying to follow up on care.
That's Laura Guerra Cardas, deputy director at the Children's Defense Fund, Texas. And she told a takeaway about one Texas family that unknowingly lost their coverage for their children.
In this family's case, they were trying to make an appointment for physical therapy for their child, who without it is unable to walk properly if he doesn't get that care. And despite being an incredibly diligent family and following up, it still took 3 months to get her child back on healthcare coverage.
The family story is hardly an isolated case, and the absence of preventative care for children can have long-lasting health effects, and it can also launch families into a downward spiral of debt. I'm Tanzina Vega, and that's where we start today on The Takeaway. I'm joined now by Margot Sanger-Katz, healthcare reporter for The New York Times. She co-wrote the piece for The Times. Margot, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're also joined by Joan Alker, executive director of the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. And for years, Joan has been tracking children's health insurance coverage. Joan, thanks for being with us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Margot, how dramatic has the rise in uninsured children actually been based on your reporting?
So I wouldn't describe it as a huge increase, but it is pretty remarkable in the sense that it's the reversal of a very long-standing trend. So really, for decades, we've seen uninsurance among children declining as more and more kids are getting coverage through various sources. And then since 2016, we've seen kind of 2 years in a row in which children's coverage has declined. So it's, I think, a worrying sign because of the direction of it. We're not seeing absolutely huge increases in the number of children without insurance, but we do know from a lot of sources that when children don't have health insurance, that can have really cascading effects, long-term effects in not just their health, but also things like educational attainment and their lifetime earnings.
Joan, give us a sense of why these numbers are on the rise. They were on the decline for a while, and now all of a sudden in the past 2 years, we've seen this increase in more uninsured children.
That's right. As Margot said, we've seen a decline in this country, something that really I think we could all be proud of for many, many years. And it predated the Affordable Care Act, which, of course, began to be implemented in 2014 as a result of the expansions of the Medicaid program and the establishment of the Children's Health Insurance Program. But as Margot said, come 2016, which was actually our lowest rate of uninsured kids ever, that started to turn around, and that's what we see today. So we attribute that to, I'd say, three main points. The first is that there's a real chilling effect right now because of the hostile actions of the Trump administration towards immigrant families. We have many children in this country who the child may be a citizen, but the parent may be an immigrant. Those parents are understandably fearful of interacting with government right now, signing their kids up for a program like Medicaid, even if they're eligible. Secondly, we saw, particularly in 2017, families were hearing all year long that Congress was cutting health coverage. They were cutting Medicaid. They were trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Even today, we have the court maybe striking down parts of the Affordable Care Act. And then Congress failed to extend the Children's Health Insurance Program for many months. Families, again, were hearing coverage might be taken away. At the same time, resources were cut for community-based navigators and outreach programs. So that's another problem, we think, as to why these trends are occurring. And then lastly, we're seeing, as Margot's great reporting indicated, some real increases in what we call red tape at the state level, and some states in particular. And those are creating barriers for families to enroll and retain their kids' coverage.
Margo, what is the Trump administration saying about this? How do they explain the rising number of uninsured kids?
So the main explanation that the Trump administration has, and indeed the main explanation for most of the states where the largest decreases in kids, CHIP, and Medicaid coverage are occurring, is the same. And that's, we have a growing economy, and as more and more families are lifted out of poverty and have better paying jobs, they are kind of graduating out of these public programs that are designed for low-income families and into employer-sponsored insurance. And so we shouldn't see these reductions in coverage in these public programs as a bad thing. We should see it as a good thing, as a sign that people are getting better jobs. But the data about the increases in the uninsured rate among children suggests that while that may be a true story for some of these kids, it doesn't seem to explain all of the reductions.
And Margo, what about migrant communities and immigrant families? What's the unique case situation that they find themselves in right now?
So I think it's actually quite hard to measure exactly what the effect of this sort of chilling rate that Joan described may be. But we do see, my colleague Abby Goodenough, who worked on the story with me, spent some time in Houston, Texas, and she was talking with families and with healthcare providers who take care of this low-income community. And she spoke with one mother who is, in fact, a legal immigrant. She has permanent status and a green card, but she's so afraid of something that might interfere with her ability to stay in the United States that she had disenrolled her children from Medicaid. So her children are both citizens. They had been enrolled in Medicaid for a long time, and one of them indeed had asthma that required medication to be properly managed. But she was so scared that she might have her immigration status be interfered with, that she might get separated from her children, that she pulled her kids out of the program. So we sort of hear anecdotally from families and from folks who are close to these communities that that is happening around the country in certain states where there are a lot of immigrants. We're seeing some reductions in enrollment among those families.
Joan, sort of taking a look at the political roots here, I mean, healthcare is once again defining the presidential race, particularly when we hear Democratic candidates talking about it. We've even heard some Republicans, including Mitt Romney, who are opposed to the idea of free universal healthcare because it would create what he calls a magnet, incentivizing more families to come to the United States. Is that accurate to say, Joan?
Well, we're talking about children today, and for children, the reality is most of those kids are eligible for coverage today. They just may not be enrolled or their coverage has lapsed. And this, again, as I said, really predated the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act really helped drive down children's uninsured rates to the lowest level we've ever seen. And 95% of children are covered. So with respect to children, there is a small number of undocumented children who don't have a path to coverage, but most do. So when you're talking about kids, the name of the game is making sure that those kids are getting matched up with their proper source of coverage, Medicaid, CHIP, or the new ACA marketplaces. So that's really not much of an issue here.
But when it comes to immigration policy, I think Mitt Romney's basically saying that if we have this type of universal health care, it's going to incentivize more immigrant families to come to the United States. Is our immigration policy connected to health insurance benefits for children?
I really don't think so, no. We have very few children who are immigrants who are on these programs. There are a small number, but the vast, vast majority of these kids are in what we call mixed status families, where the parent may be an immigrant, but the child is a citizen.
Margo, Joan mentioned the Affordable Care Act, and I'm wondering if there were any safeguards in the Affordable Care Act to prevent what we're seeing from happening.
So it's actually interesting. There's some irony here because what the Affordable Care Act did is it tried to simplify the ways that states evaluated who was eligible for Medicaid. So it used to be kind of a complicated process in some states where people would have to go into a welfare office in person and provide all kinds of documents about their assets, about their income, and other things. And what the Affordable Care Act basically said was, we're going to have an income threshold. If you earn less than a certain income, then your child is going to be eligible for the program. And the federal government gave states a lot of money to update their computer systems to help so that they might be able to access data from other programs. Maybe if the family was enrolled in food assistance or in housing assistance, they might be able to match and say, oh, we know this family is eligible for Medicaid. We already know what their income is. Let's just sign them right up. It also allows states to match up data with some state payroll systems. So it was a way to kind of streamline enrollment, make it less burdensome for families to sign up. But what's happened in some states is that the transition from really old kind of antique computer systems that were used to sign up families for Medicaid to these newer systems has been really problematic. And there have been a lot of failures and a lot of errors. And it has made the system more automated so that when there's an error, often what happens is that a family kind of just automatically gets kicked out of the program. And so that sort of thing has been happening in a couple of states, including Tennessee and Missouri, where really large numbers of children lost coverage over a very short period of time, due in part to these kind of computer update problems. Another thing that's happened, and we see this in some states, including Texas and Arkansas, is that now that states have this ability to match up using the computer, they start checking all the time. So instead of just having a family renew their coverage once a year or twice a year, which is the way it was before the Affordable Care Act, what these computer systems can do is they can look every month, do we have any evidence that this family's income may have risen to a point where it might be too high for them to be eligible for Medicaid? And so, again, Abby in Houston spoke with a family there where what happened is the computer system thought that the mother had earned too much in 1 month, sent her a letter and gave her only 10 days to write back and prove that her income was still low enough to qualify for Medicaid. It turned out that actually it was, but she didn't get the letter, she wasn't able to respond quickly enough. And by the time she found out what had happened, her coverage had been canceled and she was, you know, at the emergency room with a sick baby and no coverage.
Joan, a lot of the kids that are affected under these current changes are under the age of 6, from what we understand. What are the long-term effects of children missing out on health care?
Well, as any parent of a young child knows, you're at the doctor all the time. There are frequent screenings, immunizations, and other things that are critical. And we know that brain development is extremely rapid in the period 0 to 3. So it's really important to catch those kinds of developmental issues early on. So this is a serious problem. I do want to just make one larger point, though, which is, you know, Margo's talking about there are a lot of state-by-state details here with respect to how the enrollment systems are working. But I think we need to keep our eye on a bigger point, which is no one is minding the store here. The Trump administration, instead of being concerned about the fact the number of uninsured kids is going up on their watch for the first time in many years, really ever since we began looking at this issue, has not even acknowledged that this is a problem. And it is really their duty, because ultimately they're responsible. The majority of the dollars for the Medicaid program are federal dollars. They're responsible for taking a look at what's going on in many states around the country and trying to reverse this situation.
Joan Alker is the executive director of the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. And Margo Sanger-Katz is a healthcare reporter for The New York Times. Margo, Joan, thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now we're going to zero in on a state with the largest share of uninsured kids, Texas. Last year, a report released by the Georgetown University Center for Children found that more than one-fifth of uninsured children in the United States live in Texas. And these numbers are growing. According to the Census Bureau, the number of uninsured children in the state rose by around 120,000 between 2016 and 2018. And just like at the national level, uncertainty over legal status among immigrants in the state is a major factor in these drops, but administrative red tape is making the problem even worse. For more on this, we're joined now by Laura Guerra-Cardes, the deputy director at the Children's Defense Fund in Texas. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So we've seen a decade of decline in Texas's uninsured. What's driving these numbers to go up again?
Like the majority of the country, we've seen steady progress in our child uninsured rate for about a decade. So it was quite alarming for us about 2 years ago to start seeing this trend reverse course and child uninsured rates start increasing at a pretty rapid rate, especially here in Texas. Our state is impacted and our child uninsured rate is decreasing for the same reasons as in many parts of the state, but the impact is quite large here. One out of every four children in Texas lives with at least one parent who is a non-citizen. The chilling effect that is happening because of anti-immigrant policies at the federal level is having a really big impact. But then on top of that, we have policies currently in place that are kicking eligible children off of their healthcare coverage within their 12-month period of coverage that they should be covered after they qualify onto Medicaid. And then I would say lastly that even before, you know, we started seeing this decline, Texas has always been kind of at the bottom of the barrel for our child uninsured rate. And that's because states actually have a lot of ability to improve their outreach to eligible uninsured children depending on the policies that they choose. And our state, unfortunately, has not taken advantage of many policies that are really known best practices for getting children enrolled and keeping them enrolled.
So, Laura, can you help us understand a little bit more about the specific fear among immigrants? How is the re-enrollment issue here leading to lost coverage for children?
Sure. So the fear around anti-immigrant policies, specifically, I think often we're talking about the public charge rule that we're very happy has just been blocked by the courts. But that will take time for information, for that information to get to families, is worrying families that if they use benefits like Medicaid and CHIP for their children, it will somehow impact their ability to one day attain legal permanent residency and possibly citizenship in the future.
Are they also afraid that if they go for to apply for some of these benefits, that there might be some sort of imaginary tripwire that then alerts the authorities that they are in fact not here in the country, they're undocumented?
I think for some families that are in that situation, it does, but this is really affecting families across the spectrum, families that are here legally, families that already have their residency and are waiting to get their citizenship. Families are faced with even, you know, a possibility or a rumor that using a benefit for their children could one day separate them from their children. That is very frightening. And it's not necessarily the specific rules within the public charge policy, for example. It's really the total factor of all of the anti-immigrant policies that are being passed.
So let's make this clear for folks. I mean, there are lots of people who are saying that they don't even know that their kids are taken off insurance until they try to get services. What's happening there? Are people not getting notices about this?
Right. So these are two different problems. One problem is that some families are starting to become afraid of using these programs and, again, largely unnecessarily dropping their kids from coverage, and we need to get the word out. But there is a totally different problem that has been kind of self-created in Texas that is contributing to this problem, and that is a policy that was implemented in 2014 that began checking families on a month-to-month basis using databases that are, you know, often incomplete by nature because information is incomplete and often inaccurately is flagging families as potentially being over the Medicaid income limit. And families are getting letters that they need to provide more information, and there is a hard 10-day cutoff. If a family is unable to even receive the letter in time, go back to old employers, get information that they no longer work somewhere, mail or fax it in. The letter has to arrive to the state agency and be processed. If all that doesn't happen within a 10-day period, their kids are being automatically disenrolled.
Why is the state of Texas at the center of all this?
For a long time, Texas has not chosen the best policies to reach eligible uninsured children, and that problem has remained. But in the last several years, where we've really seen the reverse in course of our uninsured children, is mainly for two reasons. One, because of state policies that are creating paperwork traps for families that are causing eligible children to lose coverage. And this is upwards of around 50,000 kids a year that are losing their coverage despite continuing to qualify for Medicaid. But the other reason is what is impacting many states. It's anti-immigrant policies that are, we believe, designed to make families afraid of using benefits that their children qualify for, and that in fact, in most cases, will have no impact on a family's future ability to stay in this country.
Laura Guerra-Cardis is the Deputy Director at the Children's Defense Fund in Texas. Laura, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.